It's good to be back at the cathedral. I've been away the last two Sundays, going and coming to World Youth Day in Brazil. We had 46 or so young people from the Archdiocese who were there, with a few of us who are older, celebrating the new ministry of our new Holy Father, Pope Francis, and celebrating the eternal youth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got a cold while I was there. You know, it's winter in the southern hemisphere. While we have summer, they have winter. So I picked up a winter cold and then came back for the summer. So my voice is a little rough. I hope you can understand me. Today's scripture readings are about greed and the vanity of working for money and possessions when you put that in the perspective of the rest of our lives. The first reading is from the Old Testament, from a book we don't often hear in the church, from the book of Ecclesiastes. And the person who is speaking here is called Koheleth, which means the teacher or preacher. And he's trying to pass on the wisdom of the Jewish community to the young members of the community. And he begins by telling them, vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. I wonder how many of you know what the word vanity means. You know, we're not very good about understanding the precise meaning of words in today's very fast culture. So I think it's always an interesting adventure to look up the meaning of words as I prepare for my homilies, and I looked up the word vanity in the dictionary. And it's described rather than defined. Other words are used to help us understand what it means. And some of the words that are used for vanity are useless. If something's vain, in vain it's useless. Worthless, hollow, and empty. So for something to be a vanity, it's those ideas. Once again, useless, worthless, hollow, and empty. And Koheleth teaches us that the pursuit of wealth and possessions is that. It's empty and hollow and useless and worthless. And he gives two examples of why that's the case. First example he gives is the example of a person who's very talented, who works very hard and you know, makes a great deal of money, is greatly successful, and then he has to pass it on to the next generation when he dies, to a bunch of lazy descendants who don't know how to work. And you spend your life doing all of that, and in the end, you die, and it goes to people who don't appreciate what you've done. Now, I see a mother looking at her daughter as I say that. But I think we could all think about that. You know, we have been the receiver of things from our own parents, you know, and they worked very hard for them, and sometimes we've wasted the things that they've given us. The other example that he uses is a person who works all the time and is anxious and is worried all the time. And what happens when that person tries to go to sleep? He just worries some more, is more anxious and worried. So whether he's working hard or he's trying to rest, whether he's very active or on vacation, he's anxious and worried because he's trying to possess money and possessions, and they don't mean anything in the end. And all of this is useless and worthless and hollow and empty. Now, the first reading is always given to us, at least most of the time on Sundays, to help us understand today's gospel. So let's look at today's gospel in the light of that first reading. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and we're here today as disciples of Jesus wanting to be taught. So we ask the Lord to teach us the lesson of today's gospel personally, that we apply it to ourselves and not to someone else, okay? But someone in the crowd called out, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." You know, perhaps you're from a situation like that where The will was read after your parents died and you didn't get your share. You went to God and complained that you wanted more than was given to you. That's what this young man was doing, crying out to Jesus to intervene and tell his brother to give him a share, a greater share of the inheritance. And in response to that, Jesus says, take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. How many times in your recent life have you reflected on greed? It's one of the seven deadly sins, along with gluttony and lust and pride and many other things. So it's considered in the tradition of the church a very important issue and one of the vices that we need to reflect on as Christians if we want to be disciples of Jesus. But in today's world, which is a world of consumerism, we're always told that we need to buy this or that, we need more of this to make us happy or to make us more beautiful or to give us security. Because we're constantly being bombarded to want more, I don't think we think of greed very often. We don't even know what it means. And again, I went to the dictionary to look up the meaning of greed, and this is what the dictionary says, that greed is an excessive desire for more than one needs. An excessive desire for more than one needs. And the opposite of greed would be generosity. Greed wants more, generosity gives more. So we have the vice and we have the virtue. And of course, the virtues are always embodied perfectly in Jesus Christ, who is a reflection of God, right? And God is someone who is always giving, who is always generous. The world we live in, the world of creation, is a gift from God to what was not God, to us, really. So the nature of God is to constantly give and never take. The nature of woman and man after the fall of Adam and Eve is just the opposite. You know, not to give but to take and to want more and to want more and to want more. And it's true about material things, about money and about possessions, but it's also true about a lot of other things. We want more food. We want more attention. We want more love. We want to be more important than we were before. You know, we always want more. We are greedy, which means that we have an excessive desire for more than we actually need. In order to make this clear, Jesus tells a story. The stories that Jesus tells are wonderfully simple and wonderfully clear. It's the story of a rich man. By the way, there's nothing wrong with being rich. The Bible says that money is the root. It doesn't say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not that money is, but the love of money. The excessive desire for money, but not money itself. So there's nothing wrong with being rich. But there was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest, which thanks be to God when there's a good harvest. And he asked himself, you notice in this parable that the rich man doesn't talk to anybody but himself. He doesn't talk to God, he doesn't talk to others. He's talking, always talking to himself. And that's what he does here. He asks himself, what shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest. This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build new ones, and after I have them built, I'll store all these things. And then I will say to myself, again, he's speaking to himself, not to God or to others, which is a sign of a self-focus, right, of selfishness. Now as for you, you know, he's speaking to himself, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry. And then somebody else enters into the dialogue. Even though he wasn't invited, God speaks, and God says to him, you fool, This night, your life will be demanded from you. Now, in the Bible, foolishness is not just being stupid. In the Bible, foolishness is always associated with a life lived apart from God. In two places in the Psalms, in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, the psalm begins, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." So true foolishness in the Scriptures is trying to live a life without God, which is a life of greed, you know, where we're independent, where we find security in things and in ourselves rather than in God. And in the light of what this rich man was doing, God said, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you." And then to explain it further, Jesus says, "Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." And so the trick of being a Christian disciple, or the goal of Christian discipleship is to try to discover what is important to God, rather than to be possessed by what matters to us. We have to become possessed by what matters to God. And we get a lesson in that from today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, where St. Paul says some very important things for us in our attempt to be Christian disciples. This is what he says. "Brothers and sisters, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So our focus can't be simply on this world and on possessions and on the things that preoccupy us. He goes on to say, "Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." What St. Paul is telling us is that for the Christian, Jesus is supposed to be the meaning of our life, not possessions, not ourselves, not even our human relationships, not other things but Christ himself. He says here, "When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory." Now, Christ is supposed to be our life, the center of all we're about. And then he goes on to say, "Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly." And he goes on to list them: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and listen to this, and the greed that is idolatry. You know, St. Paul defines greed as the worship of a false god. You know, the worship of possessions is the worship of false gods. Now, I'm sure all of us commit a sin in this area. Let's use an example: going to Mass on Sunday. And we go to Mass on Sunday for an hour. And for many of us, that's all we do in terms of our life of prayer, in terms of our developing the interior life and our relationship with God. But how many hours a week do we put into making money and then buying things? Generally, we work 40 hours, and we spend a lot of time in the mall and other places where we go shopping, and restaurants and grocery stores, you know. So much more of our life is given over to things than given to God. And it should be given to God because Jesus is our life, and the one we need to worship and adore is God, not things and possessions. St. Paul goes on to say, "Take off the old self, put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator." You know, the Christian life in St. Paul's time was seen as putting on new clothing. You know, what the image he uses here is taking off the old man, the clothing of Adam and Eve, and putting on the new robe of the resurrection. When you and I were baptized as babies, symbolically, we were given a white robe to symbolize a new life that comes to us in Jesus Christ through our baptism. And that's a life that leads us to focus on God rather than on ourselves. And then to focus on others rather than on ourselves. And St. Paul concludes by saying, Christ is all and in all. Again, a radical redefinition of human life, a refocusing of our life on Jesus, who is life himself for us. So we get a wonderful lesson in the Christian virtue of generosity today, and a warning about the vice of greed. We ask the Lord to teach us generosity, that we might become like God, who always gives and never takes. May we be like that in our relationship with God and with one another.